Philippians chapter 1 tonight. And this is part 6 of the series that we're doing, Faith in Light of the Lamb. And let me say it again, everything the Lord gives us is in light of the Lamb, because there is no light for anything outside the light of the Lamb. And this is particular message tonight, the joy of faith. The joy of faith. And again, this is part 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Everybody there? And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Notice what's said there. For your furtherance and joy of faith. Your furtherance of faith and your furtherance of joy. The joy of faith. Faith has to be something that is a joy. You can't do it. Joy means cheerful. You have to be cheerful about what the Lord is doing in your life. Matter of fact, let's look over at Psalms 111 while the Lord feeds it to me right now. Psalms 111, I believe it's verse 2. Watch. Psalms 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Who's seeking the works of the Lord? Those who know they're great, and those who have pleasure in His works. Nobody else is seeking the works of the Lord. Everybody else is too busy with their own personal stuff. I said, we call ourselves got to do both, but there ain't no such thing. In all we do it as unto the Lord, because He's involved in all we do, or it's just us doing it. The Lord don't want you even doing your personal stuff without Him. Amen. Amen. So remember that. You need to highlight that in your Bibles. Psalms 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, and they're sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. If you have pleasure in what God's doing, you're seeking for more of what God's doing. Not with just words, you're actually seeking. You know what I know the Bible teaches? That if you're seeking, you'll find. Ain't no such thing as saying I'm seeking for 40 years and not finding. If you're seeking, you'll find. And if you're finding, you'll be walking in what you're finding. Amen? Philippians chapter 1 again, verse 25. Let's read it again. And having this confidence, Paul says, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Your furtherance of faith and your joy of faith. Is your faith being furthered? Are you further along by the faith that you have? Are you learning the Word? Are you learning to walk in the truth? Are you becoming a testimony to all that know you? Do they know that you're Christ because of your fruit, or do they just know where you go to church and who your preacher is, or do they even know that? Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. And our message tonight focus is the joy of faith. The joy of faith, not the hindrance of faith. If we look at faith as a hindrance, then we're not living in the joy of faith. And we can't further ourselves along in it. Because faith, you know, and I ministered this in Naples, if we don't learn to partake of the afflictions of the gospel, then we won't be able to experience the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind that God has given us. You see where that verse is written to Timothy by Paul in 2 Timothy 1 and 8? That's the context of that. Timothy is under great pressure, great stress, great trials and temptations, and fear is knocking on the door of his heart. And the Lord, through Paul, told him that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. He goes on with that thought to tell him, therefore, you've got to learn to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. And that a lot of times is when we quit allowing our faith to take us further because somebody's laughing at us, somebody's pushing us aside, somebody's looking down on us, somebody's treating us bad, somebody's treating us different, somebody's talking about us, and we don't like that. So you got to be careful about that. I've been telling you for the last how many years, I don't know, you got to learn to be satisfied with the consequences of your faith. You've got to learn to be satisfied with what comes your way because of your faith. And that ain't always going to be pleasant things, but in the midst of all that comes against you because of your faith, you can have the joy of faith. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you can have the joy of faith, faith that is a joy, faith that is your strength. Jesus said that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And we'll read that in a minute. But let's continue to read this because this is not just a letter to the church at Philippi. This is a letter to those cross-eyed believers in Queen City, Texas here at 610 Highway 59 right here. It's written to us. Unless you take it personal, you'll never benefit from what's written here. This is a word from God through Paul to you. Are you a Gentile? I believe you are. And God sent him to the Gentiles with these words to the Gentiles. And that's what we are. We're Gentiles. So this letter is not just to the folk in Philippi. It's to Curtis and it's to James and it's all of us. And you got to take it personal because it is to you. The Word of God is to you. It's for you. It's a lamp for your feet and a light to your path if your heart surrenders to it. You know, I was thinking a while ago that, you know, there's a lot of people that claim Christianity, and I just have to believe that they are if they claim they are. I'm not the judge. But you know what? I'm glad to be spending my life on Jesus. I'm glad to be spending my life on Jesus. I mean spending my life. I ain't talking about church over once in a while. I'm not even talking about church faithfully every week. I'm talking about a life spent on Jesus. I'm talking about in the Word. I'm talking about in worship and praise. I'm talking about in everything that God has for us. We need to be striving for more of what he's given us to walk in. I want to spend my life on Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a pleasure and a joy just to be spent on Jesus. Not spent in any other way. So many people devote so much time to so much stuff and so little time, if any time, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians are called to represent him, not occasionally, but moment by moment. That's why we're here on the earth, to represent him. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I've sent you. We've been sent to be the light, the very light that Jesus was. That's the light we're called to be, young people. Don't wait till you get to be my age. You're the light now. You're the light now. If you're saved, you're the light right now. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Your furtherance of faith and your joy of faith. Joy of faith. Faith has got to become a joy. Now, I'm not talking about when you're learning something new and it's exciting and you sense the Lord stirring it in your heart and putting it in there and now you know something new. I'm talking about walking in that new truth and experiencing sometimes things that come against you like they will. Anything that you learn new and learning, a part of the learning is walking in it, or you're not really learning it till you just heard it until the do takes place, deception is surrounding you. Ain't that what the Bible said? If you're just a hearer and not a doer, deception is there. Mm-hmm. Amen, Brother Curtis. So, don't let anything come along to rob you of the joy of faith. Faith is a joy. It's a gift you didn't have. You didn't have it. It came through righteousness. It came by hearing the Word. It came just like grace. You didn't have it. Now you've got faith. You've got faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got faith to believe the Word. You've got faith. You've got a new heart, a new spirit that's alive that can believe. You didn't have that before you were saved. Amen. You had to believe. And we need to go further. We need to go further. We can't just say and be satisfied that I'm saved and that I'm going to heaven one day. We gotta go further. I don't care if the folk with me are going to go further. I've got to go further. You got to go further. You're going to be tempted to slow it down when they won't go with you or when they drop off or when they turn around and go back. You're going to be tempted to slow it down. And if you start slowing down, you're going to quit. It's like we heard years ago, you know, it's like an old car that's missing. It's eventually going to quit. You start missing out on the things you know you're supposed to be doing, going and worshiping the Lord in the congregation, in a local church, giving, studying, witnessing, all these things. You know, and somebody rises up and says, well, you ain't got to do all that to go to heaven. And my answer to that is that all you got on your minds going to heaven? What about now? We already got a designated spot in heaven. God's looking for you to represent His Son here. We got to learn to go further. Where we are is good, hallelujah. But there's a furtherance of the gospel. There's a furtherance of faith, joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul says, only let your conversation, meaning your conduct, be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. And let me say tonight that if you're not hearing the Word of God in the context of the gospel, your life's not going to be becoming the gospel. Your conduct's not going to be becoming the gospel. And isn't this so beautiful right here? If you're just being taught everything the New Testament says you ought to be doing, but it's not in the gospel context, meaning the context of the cross of Christ, then that's why people burn out. That's why their faith stops being a joy to them, because they're just being told what to do and they don't understand how all that works, and eventually burnout takes place because they're not functioning by faith. Faith never burns out. Religion does. Faith never burns out. The Lord gave us faith to keep the fire burning. The Old Testament priesthood, and that's what we are now, the New Testament priesthood of believers, the priesthood and the Old Covenant were commanded by God to never let the fire go out. You're commanded by God as a New Covenant priesthood of believers to never let the fire go out. Can't nobody else keep your fire going. But there's a whole lot of stuff that can put the fire out if you allow it. Can't nobody really put your fire out but you. You can keep it going or you can let it go out, but it's all based on what you're trusting in. That's why you see some of the most devout, most devoted looking people to a local church somewhere, but they ain't got no fire burning. They devoted to a building, to a group of people, but they not devoted to the Word of God. See, the furtherance and joy of faith is the furtherance of God's Word becoming truth to you and you walking in it. That's what the furtherance of the joy of faith. Remember, because there ain't no such thing as faith without the Word. So there's got to be incoming Word. If you can't just say, well, God's Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, glory be to God, and go to bed and think that's going to get it the next day. It ain't. Quoting that ain't going to get it. Just like quoting God ain't giving me a spirit of fear, but a pie, love, and a sound mind. Quoting that ain't getting you nothing. You're going to be challenged. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried to see if you'll keep the fire burning. That means if you'll keep your faith anchored in Calvary and not saying it is, but letting your heart surrender to that place where Jesus, my goodness, do you know before Jesus was crucified the night before when he had the Last Supper with his disciples, we read it almost every time we have communion, he said, with desire, I have desired to have this meal with you before I suffer. Jesus' greatest desire was to go to the cross. His greatest temptation was to not go to the cross. But his greatest desire was to go to the cross, to be obedient, because that was why he was sent. To go to the cross. His greatest desire was to be wholeheartedly, completely obedient to his heavenly Father. And that meant going to the cross. Jesus was the perfect example of every moment of his life, that phrase, the furtherance and joy of faith. Because he lived by, he says, I don't do anything unless I hear my Father say it. That means he was living completely by faith. John 8:29, he says, I always please my Father. That means there was never a moment that he wasn't living by faith. That means what he was hearing. Amen. We don't do that, but we want to. And we strive to. Don't we? We want to be more faithful. We want this faith that we've received, this faith by which we live. We want it to be a greater joy to us. So when we wake up in the morning, it's not the hard heads that we got to go work around that we first think about. It's Jesus. Amen. When we wake up in the morning, it's not all the negative things that I know is probably going to happen today, but it's Jesus I think about. He literally becomes my life. I'm talking about being spent with Jesus. He came and spent everything he had at Calvary for us. Surely we can devote our lives to him. Hallelujah. He says, only let your conversation, that means your conduct, be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you see how the gospel is the focus? There's never a time in God's mind among his people that the gospel is not the focus. Never, ever, ever. The gospel is always the focus because it's always the answer. The gospel is the explanation of what love really looks like. The gospel is the picture of what mercy and grace really look like. The gospel is the picture of what forgiveness and repentance really looks like. You don't see anything unless you see into the righteousness of God, and that is only revealed in the gospel. You don't move from faith to faith unless the righteousness of God is being revealed to you in the gospel. That's what the Bible says in Romans 1:16-17. Nobody's going from faith to faith because they're declaring scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. Those said that have the joy of faith. Amen. I'm going to read that again. See, I like reading Bible verses over and over and over. That's why I know all y'all's addresses by heart. Because y'all give online, I fill out every envelope over and over and over and over and over, and I know your address. I ain't coming for you, but I know your address. And I read Scripture over and over and over and over. It's a whole lot better than your address. And it gives me great, great pleasure far above your address. I can find you at your address. I can find God in the Word. Hallelujah. Woo! My goodness. Only let your conversation, your conduct, be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Don't you know people didn't like Paul? Why don't he just go on about his own business? Always worry about our affairs. Yeah. That you stand fast. We're talking about in the gospel. In this place where, listen, in this place where the furtherance of joy and faith is taking place. We're standing fast here. We're not being moved. When everybody else is moved away by their favorite person or their favorite whatever, we got to stand in this gospel. This area has got to have a lighthouse. According to the lighthouse of the Scriptures, A lot of people declaring they're this and they're that, but let me tell you something. Without the focus and the boast in the cross of Christ, ain't nobody where they ought to be. That I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What are we striving together for? The faith of the gospel. You see, the message of the cross is what brought us all to this point. The message of the cross is really how I know every one of you. I knew the Parks family before the message of the cross, but thank God I still see them feasting on the message of the cross, which is the gospel. All the rest of you, we know each other because the gospel focus, the message of the cross, and we stand in it so by the grace of God, so earnestly and so sincerely with our hearts that it doesn't matter who turns away from it, we're not going with them. Paul said, I'm not moved by any of that. Paul went to jail for preaching. He got to that far. Listen, I'm not moved by any of that. And they said, well, it's going to move you, or we're going to move you to jail. And Paul said, well, I guess I'm going to get locked up because your stuff ain't moving me away from God. The gospel is your closeness to God. What you're doing with the gospel, not just anything in the Word, the Word in the gospel, that's what your relationship with the Lord depends on. Amen. Think about this, though, in this verse. Standing fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I'll be honest with you, I know the reality of where the church is today. If some prophet person that was big name known prophet came to town, you couldn't get enough chairs in the building to hear him. But if just a gospel preacher comes to town preaching the message of the cross, there will be so many empty chairs in there. Because the church is not interested in the gospel. They're interested in everything else but what God's interested in. You see, the gospel is why God became a man and came to this earth. And if that took place before the foundation of the world and then was manifest on a hill called Calvary, I think we need to be focused on the gospel. And I think we will be till I'm with the one who is the gospel. He says 9, verse 20, and before we move on, though, there's another scripture. Andrew, you might know it. Some of you, rest of you might, but it's in Corinthians, and it says like this here says, that we're to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's another Bible verse that says we're supposed to all be speaking the same thing. That don't mean that we're to print curriculum and send it out to all the cross-preaching churches like some denominations do all over the country, and every Sunday morning they all talking from the same passage in the Bible. That's not what that means. That means wherever we're at in the Word, because the great revelation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified permeates, we say it all the time, there's a scarlet thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation, and you can open your Bible anywhere and preach Christ and Him crucified. Before there was ever one word written in the New Testament, Jesus said, the Scriptures testify me. Hallelujah. Genesis, He is all in Genesis. He is the book of Genesis. And Exodus, and Leviticus, and Numbers, and all the rest of them. He is the Word of God. The living Word of God. Verse 28, and in nothing, now look, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You can't be terrified by people that don't believe this truth. Because if they terrify you, they spook you, they try to ensnare you in the fear of man, then the furtherance of the joy of faith is going to be hindered. Oh, you go home, you still talking, declaring and decreeing, oh, you got it going on. But when you get around them, you just shut up. You go home and you, hallelujah, glory, when you're by yourself. But when you get around him, you shut down. I'm preaching, ain't I? We all know what I'm talking about, don't we? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to quit doing it. I hope people wouldn't get mad. I hope they'd get convicted and challenged and cry out, help me, Lord, to be a witness unto you and a testimony unto all that know me. I know what it's like to be selling drugs to everybody in the building that did drugs and in a moment's time drop it and carry your Bible to work. I know what that's like. I know how fearful that is. I've told you the story 1,000 times. There was a black man who was leading a prayer group, started a prayer group, and asked me would I be a part of it, and I said, sure. At 15 minutes before work every morning. A few weeks went by. I loved it. He'd share the word, then he'd ask anybody need prayer, and he'd pray. A few weeks went by, and he said, I got a promotion. I said, praise the Lord. That's good. He said, they're moving me out of the building to another building. I said, oh, I'll miss you. He said, but you got to keep the Bible study going. I said, oh, no. No, not me, brother. I can't do that. He said, sure you can. He just said, ask the Lord to help you. You could read the word and pray for the people, and the Lord convicted me, and I did it. But I ain't kidding you. Listen to me now. I held on to my britches. I was so scared. I was scared. Everything we do for the Lord, with the Lord, is done in fear and trembling. And I'd read the word, and I'd look up and say, anybody got anything to say? And they'd just be, anybody need prayer? And they'd just raise their hands, and then I'd pray. And you know, it did get easier. I'll be honest with you. It's never without fear and trembling to some degree, but I quit holding my pants. But I was scared. I know what it's like to not walk in a place where you know you should be walking, but I also know what it's like to say, help me, Lord. I ain't getting mad at no preacher because he tells me I need to be growing. I need to be further, getting further along in this joy of faith. I ain't preaching perfection tonight, but I am teaching and encouraging you growth, maturity. You're going to need it in the days ahead if the Lord tarries, because if you can't keep the joy of faith in a trying time and you just keep running from you know, whatever that situation is, it shuts you down instead of you having the confidence in the Lord to keep going. Man, there's things coming on this earth. More than half the church is already paralyzed and dead and living in fear. Full of the world. We're not going to be able to do that. We're going to have to stay on track. We're going to have to experience the furtherance of joy, the joy of faith. But he goes on to say in verse 28, and in nothing, everybody say in nothing. In nothing. Terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. That means when you don't let the fear grip your heart and move you away from your testimony, your bold and confident faith, that is a sign to them of their own destruction. Why do you think the world hates Christianity? Because there is a faith there, and it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world's convicted by it. And people who are convicted, they either repent and get saved, or they don't repent and they get rebellious and mean. Amen. You start talking to somebody about Jesus. You start talking to somebody about getting saved. And the Lord will either draw them to Him and they'll be appreciative that you gave them the gospel. Or if you keep pressing, they're not going to like you. But you can't let that mess up the joy of your faith. Let's read it again. And in nothing terrified. Don't be terrified by other people who don't believe the cross is the answer for everything, which is to them an evident token of destruction. Now, I know this is not talking about Christians being in a place of destruction, but if you're not living by faith in the cross, you're experiencing destruction. Amen. There's Christians who end up in all sorts of horrible, destructive situations because they're not trusting in Christ. Oh, I believe in Christ, but they don't know that their heart has to surrender to His work at Calvary, because that's where their union with Him is and the power flows to them from. If they don't know it, they're going to experience destruction. I speak from experience. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, destruction, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, if you don't follow me on my Pastor Curtis or my Curtis Hutchinson Facebook page every morning, you need to. I'm writing commentary right now. One of those pages is 1 Corinthians. The other one is Psalm 74, I believe it is. And in 1 Corinthians, we talked about this Monday night in prayer before we prayed a little bit. Paul, or let me just say it a better way, the Lord has found the church in Corinth with certain situations going on that they won't make the right judgments among each other, so they're going outside the walls of the church to get judges and lawyers to settle their cases. God said, that is failure. That is failure. And the Bible goes as far as to teach there, why aren't you just being defrauded? The Bible says it's better for you to be defrauded or to take the wrong, says both those, than to go get lawyers and a judge outside the church. Now, you go home and read it now, won't you? It's better to be defrauded and to take the wrong than it is to go get lawyers and judges. And it's talking about Christians in the body. And that is exactly what it says. And when I was reading it the other day, I was convicted, but I was also convicted in a good way, because the Holy Spirit led me to where He always delivers me. And He told me, without your faith in the sacrifice, this will never happen for you. If there's aught between you and another Christian brother or sister, unless you know the way of Calvary, it ain't going to work out. This is why people in the church will sue each other. Amen. They'll sue each other. Somebody will trip over something coming in the door and hurt themselves and sue the church. Boy, it's quiet up in here tonight, ain't it? See, I've told you before, let me remind you, the Lord is more interested in our response to the situations we're in than the situations themselves. Matter of fact, He lets them happen so He can see if you're going to stay in this joy of faith, the joy of believing. Now, that scripture's not talking about if some nut comes up, shows up in the church, and he's going around trying to sue somebody different every week. No, we're getting rid of him. Oh, it got quiet up in here. See, you need the cross. You read this Jesus teaching on the Mount of Olives, and you look at yourself and you say, I need the cross. Amen. Watch this. Let's read verse 29 again. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to, what? Suffer for His sake. See, if you don't know this, if we don't know this, we're going to struggle with the joy of faith. Our faith, this joy of faith being furthered. We're going to struggle. Having the same conflict, watch what Paul says now, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me still. That's what he's saying there. You heard it once, I'm still in it. Guess what, folks? We've been preaching this and believing this for almost a little over 19 years now. Had the church for almost 19 years. We still believe in it. We've suffered some things. We've lost some things. We've lost some friendships. We've lost some finances. We've lost this, but we're still in this. We still in then. That's what Paul's saying. Look at it again. He says, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. You know why he's saying that? Because he's writing this letter from prison. Let's go back to verse 12 in this first chapter. The Lord, through Paul, he's saying here, But I would you should understand. Boy, this ain't Northeast Texas language, is it? But I would you should understand, brothers, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, that means they've resulted unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was writing this from prison and said, these things that have happened to me, they've fallen out this way for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what I meant a while ago when I said, we got to learn to be satisfied with the consequences of our faith. Paul did. He wasn't happy about being in jail, but he turned it in. He didn't really turn it into. The Lord revealed it to him that this is about the furtherance of the gospel. He wrote four letters from inside the prison, four powerful letters. And we're well aware of the great truths in those letters. Let's read this again, verse 12. But I would you should understand. I wish you'd understand, brothers, sisters, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, that means they've taken place, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Notice where he says his bonds are. His chains that are on him. He says they're in Christ. Paul was well aware that he might have been a prisoner in a physical location behind bars or wherever he was at, but he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. His bonds were in Christ. And we've got to learn this, that when we're living by faith, when we're trusting in Christ and what he did at Calvary, the devil is going to come against you because that's the one and exclusive area where you can express Christ. And the last thing he wants to see is anybody expressing the one that crushed his head and took his power of death away from him. That's the last thing, and he won't have it. He won't have it, but your faith will experience that for you. That's the only thing that makes the devil flee. Nothing else will. These people running around screaming at the devil, he's laughing and screaming with them. Oh, just keep telling me I ain't going to do nothing to your kids. Oh, just keep telling me I'm not going to do nothing to your marriage and I'm going to destroy your marriage and your kids. Oh, you just keep telling me what I ain't going to do because I'm doing it while you telling me I ain't going to do it. But when you look to Calvary, he's got to turn the other way. That's what the Bible says. You don't defeat him. He's already defeated. And your faith in what defeated him, the one who defeated him, makes him go the other way. But make no mistake about it, when he flees, he's coming back. He doesn't flee and stay gone. He flees only to come back. And you got to know this. Your faith has got to be precious to you. Your faith has got to become to you like a gift, like a treasure, like there's nothing else like it. This gift of faith that allows you to open your Bible and see things the world cannot see, to receive things the world have no way of receiving. Your faith has got to become a treasure to you that you wake up in the morning and can say, thank you, Lord. That's faith speaking. It's faith. It's your treasure. You hadn't got anything with the Lord without faith in him. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's read Hebrews 12:2, and I'm going to have to quit. Maybe. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Can I keep going, Sister Emily? She said, yeah, I see there. That's what you get to do when you sit on the front row, tell me if I can keep going or not. If you tell me no, I'm going to move you to the back row. But Emily said, yeah. Watch Hebrews 12:2, because everything is about Jesus. If it weren't for Jesus and the cross, we wouldn't have no faith. If it weren't for Jesus, listen, and our faith in what he did at the cross, there could be no furtherance of anything for us. Let me say that again. For Christians, there is no furtherance. There is no growth. There is no maturity. Not one ounce without a heart trusting in the sacrifice of Christ. I want to say that again. You can learn Bible verses. You can learn to quote them. You can declare them. You can bring them from every direction about any topic you want to. But until your heart is yielded to the sacrifice, you will not grow. Memorizing scriptures do not mean you're growing. Experiencing the truth means you're growing in the heart. That means you're becoming like Christ. Amen. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, tell me what I'll see when I do, Lord. I'll see the author and the finisher of my faith. I'll see the one who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross for me. The joy that was set before him. You see, Jesus didn't come and just live a perfect life by faith. His faith kept furthering. The joy of his faith kept furthering. Step by step, moment by moment, all the way to the death. The joy that was set before him is what allowed him to endure the cross. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have no strength without the joy of the Lord. And it only comes through that which Jesus did at Calvary. Years ago, I used to preach it all the time. You don't have to ask God for strength. All you have to do is have your faith in the sacrifice of Christ, and you experience where the strength comes from. You see, Jesus tasted death by the grace of God, Hebrews 2:9. And we know the Bible tells us we're weak in Christ, but the treasure there for us is that Paul told Timothy, be strong, not in Christ. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. What grace is that? The grace that he tasted death by. That's the only place God's strength comes from. That's why I don't care if a preacher's been preaching 40 years. If he doesn't know how to live for God, meaning faith in the sacrifice and no other objects of faith, he's not growing. He can quote scripture like nobody's business. He can make people flock to him because of his eloquence, but he's not growing. He's not growing because he looks good, or he can quote scripture, or because he prays for you. He's not growing one moment of growth without a heart surrendered to obedience that's unto righteousness. Watch now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You want to experience the shame that people try to cast on you? You want to experience what it means where Jesus despised that shame? Then you got to let your faith take you further. You got to let your faith carry you through those times when people come to make you feel so little because you're still stuck at Calvary. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is a beautiful verse. It do you good to go home and look at it and study it for a long time, because it tells us that for the joy that was set before Christ, he endured the cross. And because this one verse tells us that because of the cross, Jesus despised the shame, and that because of the cross, he was able to be seated on the throne with God. Because of the cross. And it was the joy that was set before him that got him through the cross. Amen. And we have the joy of faith. We've been given the joy of faith, but we need to see it furthered. We need to be growing. We need to be growing. When we know we need to study the Word, then study the Word. Don't let the world tell you you don't have time. No, in all reality, I don't have time for all that anymore. I will study the Word. Well, they're going to think I'm weird. Well, they'll just have to think I'm weird. It's time now to start that, mamas and daddies and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. It's time now to make time for the one who made time for you. It's time now to begin to spend our lives on the one who spent his life on us. It's time now to give all to him because he gave all for us. We've got to learn how much of a treasure our faith is. We say, faith ain't my treasure, Jesus is. No, you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. If you try to separate faith from Jesus, then you got just an emotional feeling thing every once in a while. Let me tell you tonight before I quit, our emotions can be up here, then our emotions can be down here. And if we live according to them, we'll never live. We'll never live. We live by faith, or we don't live. And Paul said, to live is Christ. You can't separate the two. Would you stand with me tonight? I better quit.